I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Ha Jin won the National Book Award and the Pen Faulkner Award for his internationally best-selling novel, Waiting. His previous book, War Trash, was also a Pen Faulkner Award winner. He joins me from here in Vancouver to talk about his new novel, A Free Life. It is a highly readable and critically acclaimed novel of a Chinese immigrant's struggle to pursue the American dream. Published by Pantheon, the book retails for $34. He is currently a professor of English at Boston University. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Ha Jin. Good morning, Professor Jin.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Well, let's start at the very beginning of your book. The dedication reads to Lisha and Wen, who live this book. Who are Lisha and Wen?
Lisha is my wife, Wen is my son. And, yes. And because, you know, we were all recently immigrants. So a lot of the details and references in this book, they knew intimately.
And how long ago was it that you came to America?
I came in 1985, 22 years ago.
And is it similar like in the book where the husband comes first and then the wife and children come later?
That is true, yes. It's not just, but also it's not just personal. Many Chinese, especially Chinese students, they came that way. When they came, their spouses could not come, and neither could their children.
One spouse coming before the other spouse and perhaps their child. Is that because of a lack of resources, or is it really to get a feel of the country that they're immigrating to?
Oh, so the question is, No. This, of course, everybody would prefer to come together. It's a family, and nobody would separate the family from the family. But the authorities, the officials, would not allow that.
That was
a way to make sure you would come back.
Oh, is that right? And now, you had served in the Red Army, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, what did that experience teach you?
You know, life was very simple at the time, because we didn't know much about the outside world, and so everything was black and white. It was very clear. So mentally, it was fine. Physically, it was very harsh. And in fact, in the earlier months, we didn't have enough food even. In a way, that taught me many things. I think I would really always cherish the opportunity to study and to read a book. Those things were not available in the army. But I felt it was a terrible waste. At the time, I didn't feel much when I was in the army, but once I left, I realized what a waste.
And the character in your book comes to America, and he ends up working in a restaurant. He owns a restaurant.
Yeah.
That part of the book is autobiographical. You'd worked in a restaurant, had you?
Yeah, but I never worked in a Chinese restaurant. I always worked in American and Italian restaurants. So that is not really autobiographical, and because in the Boston area, most restaurants were owned by the earlier immigrants from Canton. I couldn't speak Cantonese. So that part, when I began to live in Georgia, I visited a lot of small restaurants and to get familiar with the environment and the business, but that part was not autobiographical.
Yeah, I also read somewhere that you'd worked as a night watchman.
Yes.
Did that have any impact on you at all, or was it just a job? Were you able to think about what you wanted in life?
In fact, it was a good job, and it did have impact on me. And in fact, I wrote my first book of poems when I was working as a watchman. Not only nighttime watchman, also weekend watchman. And that job, but was a good job at the time. And of course, because you know, I was basically free after I made the rounds, and so I could think a lot. They did make me think.
When you write, do you have a preference as to poetry or prose?
I think prose usually you can be forced. That means you, as long as you have a story to tell, you can make it work. Poetry, so much depends on luck. And if the impulse is not strong, it's very hard to make a strong poem. So if I can choose, of course I would, if I could choose, of course I would choose poetry, but very often poetry cannot be written willingly.
Nan Wu is the character in your book, who comes to America with his wife and his family and his child. His motivation is it to give his child a better life?
Yes, once he decided to immigrate. Yes, I think that's a common mental pattern for many first generation immigrants. They assume that this day they come to North America so that their children could have a better life, a better future. Of course, that's true, but at the same time, that could be also problematic, where often they just give up trying to make much of their own life.
And do you find that there's a lot of self-doubt, a lot of worry that goes on amongst the parents, that perhaps they've made a mistake, that they don't like living in America, or they don't like where they've chosen? Like, we have a lot of immigrants that come to Canada, for example.
Yeah.
Do you find that there's a lot of that self-doubt and that loathing, perhaps, that Nan has?
Nan had some. I think his wife is more sure of the immigration. But I think very often this happens more often to men than to women among the immigrants. Perhaps because many men used to live a privileged life back in their old lands. And here they had to start from scratch like everybody else. As a result, they got more frustrated, and that's why some of them returned to their native lands. Of course, they have already become foreigners to their native people.
Pursuing the American dream seems to be one of the themes in the book, and what is the American dream for Nan? Is it just the ability to live and work in America, or is it something else?
I think the book has earlier part of the book, that was, of course, he was indulged. Basically, he was in the thick of pursuing the popular version of American dream, to be self-independent and to own a house, a business, and, well, two cars. But in Georgia, that kind of dream was not difficult to realize. Once he reached that point, then he was confused, because that dream was not his dream. So now he has to figure out what American dream is his own. So he has to come up with his own version of American dream.
Living in America, do you find that it's interesting that China has now become sort of capitalist, that being self-independent seems to be sort of the norm there now? And owning two cars seems to be something that a lot of people do.
Yeah, yes. But to what degree mentally they can be free? That's that's the issue. And freedom is a mindset. It doesn't mean you just have the material. material success, then you can be a free person. It does not work that way, especially among a lot of Chinese. I don't think they really have freedom. Even very successful business people, very often the authorities can intervene, even take away of their wealth.
There's a quote in the book from Nan, and I'm going to read it and ask you your sentiment on it. I spit at China because it treats its citizens like gullible children and always prevents them from growing up into real individuals. It demands nothing but obedience. To me, loyalty is a two-way street. China has betrayed refuse to remain its subject anymore. How much of that, of what Nan says there, reflects your own sentiments?
This is not my own, because we have to read this in the dramatic context. We know that because just before that moment, his passport was cancelled by the consulate, and he was angry, he was outraged. So that kind of hate and love expression really was characterized really from his own suffering at that moment. I don't think this is just a hatred. There is a lot of love in it, because he could not even detached or indifferent. So I think that is the moment he was really terribly hurt. And that's why he wants to spit on China, of course, and he cannot get rid of China from him.
You've never gone back to China since 1985, have you?
No, I haven't.
You were supposed to go back in 1989, but then I guess Tiananmen Square happened and prevented you from going back, did it?
Yes, that's true. And yes, then I decided to immigrate, yes.
Now, why, I'm sort of, this may be personal, but I'm just curious, why haven't you gone back?
I was very outspoken during the event, and also I realized this was, this country, I would not serve a government like that. At that time, there were no private schools. That means all the jobs were basically state jobs. And I just would not serve a country, a government like that. And also, soon after the tragedy, my son came. I would have him get outside the circle of violence and suffering, which didn't serve any purpose, purely gratuitous. So that's why I decided to immigrate.
Do you ever feel that you want to go back, even just for vacation, perhaps?
Sure, yeah. And especially the first 12 years. And before 1997, I could not have my passport renewed. And as a result, I could not travel outside the United States. During that period, I was very, very eager, almost desperate to go back and visit my family and friends. But because of the frustration, and after I became a U.S. citizen, that desire was not that intense anymore. I was not that eager, and I was jaded, I guess. In recent years, and because my books have been banned, so I don't feel comfortable to go back at the moment.
Has being away from China given you a new perspective, a different perspective about the country?
A lot, yes. The distance, and also I think with a broader reference now. At least I know parts of the outside world, and so I could view China more objectively, more reasonably.
Where is home, though, for you? I mean, do you still identify as being from China, or have you sort of doffed that and now you consider yourself American, perhaps?
I am Chinese-American. Fortunately, there is such a term. I know a lot of second-generation immigrants, especially writers, they would resist such a term. But for me, that is adequate, because I spent almost my first 30 years in China. It would be silly or insane to erase my past. So in that case, a hyphen makes a lot of sense.
You said you preferred poetry to prose. Do you like teaching?
Again, it's a love and hate relationship. If really I have a good book to teach, or I have good students, a good class, I feel the whole day is really very rewarded. It was not wasted. Then if I get frustrated, sometimes I feel I have wasted my time. But on the whole, I think it's a good way to make a living, because as an author, especially a literary author, we cannot depend on books to make a living. It's too risky. A good book might not sell at all. So it's better to have a regular, steady income.
As you know, I live in Vancouver, and American news, you get the sense that there's a lot of hysteria around immigration.
Yes.
There seems to be a lot of immigrant bashing that's going on, and it's not just you know, watching Lou Dobbs every night. It's something else, and it seems something bigger.
Yes.
Why do you think that is, and do you think, has it heightened a lot, or is it relatively the same from your estimation, from your time in the United States?
I think it's heightened. I think it's heightened. Somehow, in recent years, a lot of conservative powers somehow really use this issue as a way to win more votes and to really to get more political influence. Somehow it has become a bigger or more contentious issue recently. But people, I think they should at least keep in mind that parents or grandparents and forebears all came to this country and to the United States as immigrants. Immigrants have contributed a great deal to the economy. The fact is, without immigrants, even those illegal aliens, if without them, the U.S. economy would collapse. That's very clear.
When you came to the United States in 1985, how proficient were you in English?
I could write like a small paper, class paper, and I learned English, but mainly British English. So American English was quite unfamiliar to me. In other words, I knew some English, but not a lot. But I could read. I could read. That was a big advantage.
And how did you know, or when was it that you knew that you wanted to be a writer? Now, I'll ask that in two parts, because you were a writer in Chinese, and when did you find out you wanted to be a writer in English first?
In fact, in Chinese I wrote, but I didn't think I would be a writer. I was trained to be a translator, and so I thought I would be a literary critic and translator eventually. But in English, and while I was a graduate student, I wrote some poetry, and I even published a book of poems in 1990. By that time, I thought I would, while the book was accepted, I didn't take it seriously. I thought I would return to China soon. So that was kind of an excursion. But once I decided to immigrate, it took a year for me to decide to write in English. But again, that was not really wholehearted. Not until 1993, when I was hired as a professor, assistant professor teaching poetry writing at Emory University. At that point, it became very serious, because my livelihood depended on the job.
Are you surprised by your success?
I don't know whether it's success or not, because every book can fail at any moment. I think a lot of luck, of course, a lot of work in it. Every book is kind of failure in a way, because, you know, if you think all the great books, the good books, before yourself, and so really I can't talk much about success at all.
How do you write? Do you write on a computer? Do you write longhand?
I used to write everything longhand, but now I write everything on the computer. But really, for me, the two are not that different. If I write on the computer, that means there will be more drafts in revision and editing. So really, but computer can make the job, the first draft, faster into shape. That's important, because I always teach. I have a long period of time, I have to write a draft rapidly.
In terms of writing, how much of your how important is it as a writer that you read? And then you mentioned earlier that you'd read long before you started writing on your own, writing seriously. You have this love of literature, and the book's been compared to Dr. Zhivago.
it's fundamental, it's essential, especially some books that related to the book I am working on. In fact, I not just read, in fact, I really try to borrow strength and borrow whatever I could from them. And so reading was part of writing, in fact, in that sense.
Professor Jin, I do appreciate you coming in, on today and taking the time to talk to us about this book. I have enjoyed reading it, and congratulations on it, and thank you again for appearing.
Oh, thank you so much, Joseph.
The book is called Free Life, published by Pantheon. The book retails for $34.